learning the Gemara tonight about cutting down fruit trees. This is a form, a specific case of the lav that we refer to as bal tashchis. The Torah says, lo sashchis es eitza, thou shalt not destroy its trees. And we know that bal tashchis, of course, applies to things other than trees. We often say throwing away food or just destroying things for no reason is prohibited. That's bal tashchis. The Gemara says that in various places. However, the classic biblical case of bal tashchis is trees. And indeed, the Rambam, when he brings the laws of bal tashchis, he brings it actually of all places in Hilchos Malachim and the Umulchamas, the laws of kings and battles. Because again, the Torah's law of bal tashchis appears in the context of the discussion of building siege machinery. And the Rambam's opinion actually is that if someone cuts down a fruit tree improperly, violates the law without any mitigating circumstances, he gets malchus, just the same as if you eat chazer or eat a cheeseburger. The Rambam says, then he goes on and says that you're over bal tashchis for destroying anything wastefully, for tearing up clothes or destroying kalim, destroying a building, a structure, food. You're also over below sashchis. However, you don't get malchus, real malchus. You only get malchus drabanan, malchus maridus midivrayim. There is a difference of opinion in the Achronim as to what the Rambam means by that. The Menchas Chinuch argues that you're still over the Lav Daraisa, you still violated a biblical prohibition, just because it's not explicit in the Torah, because the Torah specifically was referring to trees, you don't get Malchus Daraisa. Mishlo Melech, he points out, seems to understand that you're not really over a Lav Daraisa at all, just a rabbinic extension of a Gzeira, a rabbinic extension, but either way, we call it Bal Tashchis. The Gemara does call it Bal Tashchis. If you destroy property for no reason, that's bal tashchis, but the primary, the classic bal tashchis is destroying a fruit tree, and that's what this Gemara we learned tonight is about, the prohibition against destroying fruit trees. Now, the Gemara actually says that it's usur. Then the Gemara relates an anecdote of a man who died because he cut down a fruit tree. And Amara said, Rav Chanina, he said, my son, Shivchas, he only died, the only reason he died, Dachronim Armadaik, he must have been a great tzaddik, there was no other Aveira, nothing significantly wrong he had done, except for this sin of improperly cutting down a fruit tree, and he died. So we have an Isser, it's an Isser Daraisa, a Lav Daraisa, like eating Chazer. B, we have the Gemara's warning that if one does it, one may suffer the penalty of death. And that makes for some very interesting halakhic literature, because we do find a fair amount of discussion in the poskim about what are the parameters of this isser, when may a fruit tree be cut down and when may it not. But in addition to classic halakhic argumentation, some poskim are also worried about this idea that if you cut it down improperly, death can be the result. So that creates a whole different dynamic than a simple halakhic question, as we'll discuss in our survey of the literature. So first of all, just the Gemara itself. The Gemara says, the Gemara gives one major heter. The Gemara says, if it's mu'ula bedamim, if the tree is worth more as timber, it's worth more, as Mecharusa puts it, dead than alive, then it is mutter. That's one example. The Gemara then goes on and gives a second example. The Gemara says there were various cases where different species of trees were mixed together, and the cheaper trees were damaging, were leaching nutrients, were contaminating, cross-polluting the more expensive trees. The date trees, which were apparently cheaper, were damaging the vines, which were more expensive. So the Maram said, cut them down, out, off with their heads. They can't be allowed to perpetuate this damage toward the better premium trees. So that is a second heter, that not necessarily the trees themselves are worth more dead than alive, but if my overall estate, if the other trees are going to be better off with these trees dead and the other trees are worth more, that is also a heter. Yes, I should mention that too. The first heter, as Roy Sussman is pointing out, the first heter, the Gemara says, is there's a share. There's a threshold that the Isser is only if the trees produce a minimal amount of peris. The share varies by the tree. The Gemara says that an olive tree, the olives were more expensive, more chashuv, the Gemara says. The share is smaller, even if they produce only a quarter of a kav. And a date tree, again, was a less chashuv tree, apparently, so there the share is a full kav. The rush in the back of the Gemara says that Kvanim, again, vines were considered the noble fruit, the most chashuv, and there's no threshold, even a kol shehu. And the Ram, and again, they generalize, the Rush says that in general, the rule is every tree, the threshold is according to how chashuv it is. The Rambam gives a bit of additional guidance. The Rambam says that the threshold below which you can cut down the tree is If it's hizkin, it's an older tree, it's not so productive anymore. V'eina ose el davar muat. How much is a davar muat? She'eina roi l'trach bo. It's not worth investing the money or effort to cultivate. What exactly that means, I'm not sure. It's simply dollars and cents, that the revenue won't, the revenue, your total cash flow will be negative. Whatever it is, the different shiurim are that below a certain threshold, you can cut it down. So these are three heterim. Doesn't produce enough. It's worth more dead than alive. It's damaging other trees. And a related heter we find in Bava Basra, the Gemara talks a very similar case where one tree was damaging another, but instead of both sets of trees belonging to the same person, they were neighbors. Perek Le'achbar in Bava Basra is all about the relations of neighbors, zoning and neighborliness. So the Gemara talks about a case where somebody's trees, very convoluted way they were causing damage, beyond the scope of our talk, but somebody's trees were damaging someone else's vineyards. And again, the halacha is you have to cut them down. And in that Gemara, he actually exhibited some reluctance to cut them down. Tosa says, why? You see in our Gemara that if one tree damages another, you could cut them down. Tosa says, in that case, they weren't really causing so much damage. But in any event, the principle is clear. The Rambam says that they have these three exceptions, puts them together. First of all, of course, if it doesn't produce the requisite amount of fruit, and then these other three cases, either that they're worth more dead than alive, or they cause damage to your own trees, or they cause damage to someone else's trees, in all these cases, there's a heter to cut it down. Rambam says, if it's mazik ilonas acheres, damages other trees, mazik b'stei acherim, causes damage to the field of other people, or dam mikarim, is simply worth more as timber. Now, there's a key ruling of the Rush, a little seven-word comment to the Rush, which has major ramifications for halacha. Most contemporary cases that the post can discuss cutting down trees are really based off this Rush. What's the most common reason that we would have today for cutting down a fruit tree? You need the space. The person wants to extend his house, the person wants to build a house, and there's a tree in the way. So if you can't cut it down, you're stuck. You can't build. Or if you do build, you have to build around it, which people occasionally do. So is that mutter or not? So the Rush says, after he brings these examples the Gemara gives, when it's mutter, the Rush says, Rush is not 100% sure, but he says it seems, apparently, if you need the space, that is also mutter. Most poskim accept the Rush. There is a tshuva, Beis Yaakov, who does not accept the Rush, who tries to argue at length from other Rishonim that disagree with the Rush. We would have to discuss why or why not. What the Chacham point out, the reason the Rush is a little bit of an extension is the Gemara is saying that the tree itself is worth more dead. But it's worth more dead hair. It's not the tree is worth more, the space is worth more. On the other hand, that's really like the case in the Gemara, where damaging other trees, where my overall estate is better off. Be that as it may, the consensus of the poskim follows the Rush that needing the space itself is a good enough reason for cutting down the tree. We have this ruling in the Taz. The Taz says that, Taz's language is a little funny, the Achronim pick it apart. The Taz says, Tazes in Yardei Asim and Kuf Tazayin, that's the list of things that you're not allowed to do because of Sakana. We should point out, by the way, for some strange reason, this halacha of cutting down trees does not make it into the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam, as we've seen, has a lengthy discussion about it. The Torah has virtually nothing. In the Torah, it comes up incidentally in the laws of Adam HaMazik that we're learning now. The lashon of the Mishnah was, even though if I cut down my own trees, I'm Pater, if someone else cuts them down, he's Chayev. So the lashon of the Torah is, even if a person cuts down his own tree, he's potter, even though he's not allowed to. So that's the entire comment the Torah has. He's not allowed to, that's his entire reference to this Gemara. And the Shulchan Aruch has nothing. The Shulchan Aruch has nothing at all about cutting down trees. So the Taz throws it in Yardaya, in the discussion of various things that you're not allowed to do because of Sakana, things that the Gemara and the Poskim forbid because of danger to a person's health or life. So the Taz says, oh, I have another one. The Gemara says that if you cut down a tree, that's dangerous. And the Taz's language is, Asru Chazal Pnei Sakana. Chazal, the rabbis of the Talmud forbade it because of danger. Chacham say, well, Chazal, it's a Lav Daraisa. It's an explicit pasuk in the Torah. Whatever it is, that's the Lashon of the Taz, it's Asur. But then the Taz passes like the Rush. He says that he, Lamaisa, Alach Lamaisa, in one case, somebody had property. There were trees in the way. I allowed him to cut it down to build, he says, even though they produced plenty of peres, he says, but he needed to build a house. And he says that that's a heter. So again, that's the heter of the Rush, that if you need the space, that is a heter. And again, that is the classic heter. Most poskim, when halacha lemaisa hu mater, this is generally the reason why, because you need the space. And as we said, that's the halacha according to most poskim. They accept the Rush, except for the Beis Yaakov.
But Rabbi, we see that if you have an alternative that's more valuable, you're allowed to cut it.
Yes.
So space might be more valuable.
Yes. And I think that's why the rush says, okay, yeah, I think that's why the consensus is like that. The consensus is if the space is more valuable, then it's mutter. And that's, I think, why. Now, there is a sheet of many poskim, starting from the Chavos Yar, going down to the Aruch HaShulchan, later poskim, that say the language of the rush is tzarech, if you need the space. Some poskim say it's only if you really need it. They talk about, one case they talk about was there was a government rule, you couldn't marry unless you showed the government that you had a house to put your wife in. So unless you showed you owned property and built a house, you couldn't get married. So the guy couldn't get married unless he built his house, and the only opportunity he had was by knocking down a tree. Okay, can't get married, you need the space. Rav Adya talks about a case, somebody had a burgeoning family, he couldn't fit in his old house, people really needed space. The guy doesn't really need the space, he just would like to have a little more room in his house. There are poskim who are not so happy with allowing you to cut down the trees. They say, tzarech, only if you need it. Now, we definitely could argue, like you did, that who says you have to need it? The Gemara says, me'ula bedamim, it's worth more that way. So if to me, my property is worth more with a house than with a tree, one definitely could argue, even if it's not a need, the mere fact that it's worth more should be enough. And there are poskim, I think, who say that too. But nevertheless, many poskim are machmer. It's only if you have a real need, not if you simply would like it better, not even if it would be worth more. Apparently, that for some reason they feel that's not enough of a reason. Now, many poskim, particularly among the Hasidim, or particularly among certain schools of thought, are very, very machmer in this halacha. And as you can guess, the reason is, as we've been alluding to, is because the Gemara talks about sakana. That beyond the simple halachic dimension here, we have a question of sakana. And the discussion really starts from a tshuva of Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden asked a basic question on the Gemara. He says, this person, this shechvas, who cut down the tree and died, what was he thinking? He did a lav daraisa? It sounds like he was a big tzaddik. Why would he do such a thing? Forget the danger. Maybe he didn't know about the danger. But what happened to the iser? Rav Yaakov Emden says that even cases that are mutter al pidin, still there's a sakana. Even if it's mutter, you're still courting death if you do it, and therefore you shouldn't do it. There is some question whether Rav Yaakov Emden meant all the cases that we discussed, even if it's not ton kava, even if it produces a minimal amount of peiros, even if it's mula b'dam, everything, or maybe just some of the cases, but there are achronim who understand Rav Yaakov Emden to be machmer everywhere. The problem of Rav Yaakov Emden is several. First of all, we find the Gemara itself brings that the Amoraim told their sharecropper, go cut down the trees, they're bothering my precious grapes. So why would they do it? Why would they risk sakana? Rav Yaakov Emden himself seems to say that the chumrah is only for the case of let's say mu'ula b'damim. But if they're low ton kava, if they don't even have, if they produce such a small amount of fruit, or the Gemara says this thing about cut tenasa below zimni, cut it down too early. Too early is not really defined. Some poskim say that too early means where it still produces a lot of fruit. But in any event, Rav Yaakov Emden seems to say that if they produce less than a kav, then there's not even a sakana. Other achronim though seem to understand the sakana applies always. The question is, how do they understand that Gemara? I'm not exactly sure. Minchas Elazar, one of the great Hasidic poskim, indeed takes a very stringent stance on this, and he says that we have a tradition, he says, from my ancestors, that we never issue a heter for cutting down trees. If people come to me and need a heter, I send them somewhere else. Because of sakana, I'm not getting involved in this, he says. I am never going to give a heter for cutting down trees. It's just too dangerous. I'm not playing Russian roulette with cutting down trees. And indeed, I think if you look at contemporary poskim, I think the more Hasidic schools of thought, the ones who tend to be more concerned with these things that we don't really understand so well, are often more machmer, while the more traditional, the classic schools of thought among the poskim tend not to be quite as worried. Rav Avadia, for example, has a characteristically magisterial tshuva going on for pages, summarizing the entire sugya. He says the halacha really is that if you have a need for the space, that's a heter. He says, and the ikar lahalacha, he says, not like Rav Yaakov Emden, the ikar lahalacha, many poskim say this, Binyan Tzion, the Aruch Lener, Sefer, say the halacha is not like that. The halacha is, if there's no iser, there's also no danger. The danger is only something that happens to you for violating the iser. If there's no iser, there's no danger. That's the Reis Sussman's argument. We find Amarayim who cut down trees. The Gemara itself, they say. The Gemara says, it's usher if it's ton kava, it's mutter if it's less than ton kava. The post can bring down the language. The rush says it's mutter if you need the space. They don't tell you it's mutter, but you might die for it. I mean, it's the job of the post to warn you about such things. So the It would be very irresponsible, Vachronim say, for the poskim to kind of just tell you mutter and leave you hanging like that, so to speak. So many Vachronim reject Rav Yaakov Emden and say there is no sakana as long as it's mutter, and that's Rav Avadia Paskins. Nevertheless, some poskim say that one should take certain precautions. One common suggestion is don't do it yourself. Have a non-Jew do it, which for most of us is what we would do anyway. Most of us, if we have a tree, would commonly hire a tree service to do it, which will often be a non-Jew, which is certainly not an issur d'oraisa anymore because you're not doing it yourself. Now, there is a shaila whether asking a non-Jew to do an issur on Shabbos, we know that's often usur, that's a mir la'akum. Other issurim is a shaila in the poskim, where machmer l'maisa, that you shouldn't ask a guy to do any issur, but at best it's a drabanan, and some poskim say it's mutter. So the Binyan Tzion, for example, says in general you should have a non-Jew do it, you shouldn't do it yourself to avoid any shilas. Another very important point made by Rav Yaakov Emden is, if you can replant the tree, he says, you're not destroying the tree, you're just moving it. So Rav Yaakov Emden actually uses this lekula. He says, even if there's no heter, even if it's a perfectly good tree, it's blooming, it's producing tons of fruit, and you don't have any great need to do it, as long as you replant it, that's fine. Chasam Sofer says you should not rely on that lekula. If you don't have a real heter to do it because you need the space or whatever, you should really not do that. But L'chumra, he says, this is important. So even if you do have a heter, you're moving it because you need the space, because it's you have some need to get it out of the way, still, if possible, you really should replant it, if you can. If the tree is healthy enough that it will, and that it's possible to replant somewhere else, even if you have a heter, the heter is only to chop it down if there's no other option. In the case of the Gemara, he says, with the case of the Gemara, he's medayik lashon limarwa zil aisili makarayu. He told him, go bring me their roots, Rashi says. Just say, chop the tree down. He says, no, bring me the roots because I want to replant it somewhere else. That might also be why there's no sakana there, because he wasn't telling him to destroy the tree. He was telling him, let's move the tree. But in any event, that's another thing the poskim say, that where possible you should move rather than destroy. Where possible you should have a non-Jew do it. Some poskim even say you should have it done while the non-Jew still owns the property, if possible. You should even sell the property to a non-Jew, or you should, before you buy it, you should have him cut down the tree. But in any event, the mainstream sheet in the poskim probably is that for a good reason, for a need, you can do it. Some poskim are machmer, largely because of the question of sakana. Not all poskim agree, but and the heterim can be either if you're going to move the tree or to have a non-Jew do it.